Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act.
Ain't no stopping us now.
We don't need two other but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all of our rights, and we want all of our rights here in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina. Then there's a third word, is the word now. We're not willing to wait 100 years for our rights. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Yeah. Oh, entertainment.
Network.
We all live.
We in your speakers.
And on your mind.
On your mind.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Ray. I'm on Payman with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy,
Big D.
It's your folk, checking traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
And yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? This is Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamster Knife.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Cates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted,
enlightened, and entertained. Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of The Winning Team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is so seductive, live.com. Log on to soseductivelive.com. So Seductive Live has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to soseductivelive.com. I believe in fashion, so Seductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Once again, we're back on, and hopefully everyone can hear us. That little technical problem. We're back in studio. Give us up a little hand here. Hoping everybody will come back on. We had a little technical difficulties, but we're so excited today. We're going to give you a little virtual what's happening in the news. We're having 37 accounts against former President Donald Trump, and it seems like he's heading for some level of conviction and a possibility of jail time or home restrictions, home confinement. With walking around with, those ankle bracelets that trace you everywhere you go. So there's a tremendous amount of things happening now in the news. African Americans are considered very disabled financially, socially, economically, and politically. There's a lot of hostility against the African American community coming from other minorities, the Chinese, the Oriental, let's put it this way, the Asians, people in the Caribbean and Africa, a lot of criticism, of ethnic Europeans are coming to America, and there's a tremendous amount of attacks on African Americans, the Chinese and the Japanese and the Koreans and the Filipinos and all these people talking about because of African Americans, they have lowered the text exams into the Ivy League universities and colleges, such as Yale, Princeton, Harvard, Brown's universities, some of the major universities in this country that are considered Ivy League, Fordham University in the Bronx is considered Ivy League, and they're stating that these universities are lowering the test scores, so it's mining out the Oriental people. And I hear Oriental people saying that they spend 16 hours a day, 7 days a week studying. What kind of life is that, actually? What kind of life is that? And let me tell you something. I have a PhD from the Northern University at Albany in New York. And let me tell you something. If you have to study 16 hours a day, 7 days a week to get subject matter, to understand academics of what you're studying, something is wrong with you already. You're already in the rear of opportunity, because who studies that long? And do not say African Americans have no level of academic test scores that can enter them into Harvard, Yale, or Princeton. We built our own college and universities when racism, discrimination, systemic and institutional and societal was against us. We built our own university in which, I will say this, what people do not say. The Jews came to America and were discriminated against. They could not go to white American universities and colleges. They went to the black universities and colleges and got their education. The Chinese did as well as the ethnic Germans, the ethnic people who was considered a communist. They studied in our universities and colleges. The black Wall Street that they talk about, it was not just a wall, it was just not a street, but it was tons of cities all around this country. Durham, North Carolina, right now is considered one of the highest economic districts in America, which is all African American. And so we kept this country going during the Great Depression. We kept them on their feet. We kept them economically thriving. And now for people to turn around and act like we are begging somebody for something. Let me tell you something, everybody who do not know. If you're new to America, you don't know the history, you haven't studied the history. I'm not talking about the mess they teach you when they take you into the room and get you naturalized from an immigrant who's a resident to a naturalized, what they consider a naturalized citizen. And they indoctrinate you into a white systemic society and that behavior. They make you think systemic racist ways. But let me tell y'all something. If it wasn't for the grace of Dr. Martin Luther King, 1965 Immigration Act, black people of color will not be in this country at the level that they're traveling to this country, because they have restrictions. You only had X amount of people could come from the Caribbean. five, maybe 10, 15, or 20 per year. You only had a limited amount of people who could come from Africa, maybe 20, 25 people per year. You only had X amount of Chinese and Japanese and Koreans that could immigrate to America, maybe 20 or 30. Your Indians, your East Indians from India, it was a 25 to 30 people. When I say 25, 30, I'm not talking about percent. I'm talking about persons. 25 to 30 persons from India before the 1965 Immigration Act that Dr. Martin Luther King pushed, only a limited amount of immigrants could come into America. So before you stop thinking, Mr. Chinese, Mr. Japanese, Mr. Korean, Mr. Filipino, and whoever else you are, whether you come from the Caribbean or Africa or Asia or Europe, I'm tired of people downing the African American community like we're begging somebody for something. Who are you to come to America and tell us that we lodging, free medicine, free clothes, free apartments is no such thing? And I will fight anybody on that. There's no such thing as a free anything for African Americans. We bust our behinds to get that. I'm 73. America gave me nothing but hell. I got my PhD at 21 years old. I had hell. I made my first million at 18 years old. I had hell. And for somebody to come to this country and tell me I'm nobody, I'm begging white people. White people is your enemy, not me. I don't control the political, the socioeconomic system in America, and I'm tired of people downing, talking about African-American people. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing it. And I'm here to say that. Anybody want to call me? The African-American Independence Day organization number is 914-913-2078. You can call that number if you want to talk to Ron Robinson. You want to argue with me about the point that I'm making. But I'm tired of hearing Africans, Caribbean people, Asians, and I'm calling it out, Latinos coming to America and acting like African Americans, begging them for something. I did not go to Latin America. I did not go to the Caribbean. I did not go to Africa looking for nothing. I've stayed right here in this hellhole, and I fought my way. So don't take me and try to make like I'm something that I'm not. I bust my behind. I worked hard. My mama worked hard. My daddy worked hard. My grandparents, I saw them worked hard. My grandparents' parents worked hard. Everybody I know in this country of African-American descent, those of slavery descent. Go to the African-American Museum of Art and History. Go to Washington, D.C., to the African-American Museum of Art and History. See what it's really about before you start to criticize somebody. And I'm not talking about good people from the Caribbean. I'm not talking about good people from Asia. I'm not talking about good people from Africa who understand and who study. But those who do not study and want to just criticize, so they can make themselves better, so they can lift themselves up from somebody, so they think by putting somebody else down, they can lift themselves up. I'm not going to take it, and I'm going to talk about it. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I get a lot of hate mail. I get a lot of haters. But like I said, you can call me at the African American Independence Day Organization. It's 914-913-2078. You can email me, Rev, R-E-V, V like Victor, R-O-N. The number 11 at gmail.com, RevRon11@gmail.com, RevRon11@gmail.com, and you tell me, contradict anything I say. Criticize me for saying the things that African Americans have done, and I get criticized. But everything I've said is documented in the newspapers from the 1600s to present. Every medicine, every technological development, everything that African Americans invented, from medicine to technology to social products to anything you can think of, is documented. I'm not saying nothing to big us up and make nobody feel small, because that's not the way God operates. You don't put another person down to pick yourself up. And I embrace people in the Caribbean, and I got history in the Caribbean of helping, doing missionary work, doing economic development opportunity programs, bringing businesses to the Caribbean and Africa. I help my people, not tear them down. And we would do better to look at everybody, but specifically us as a people, as a black people, we'll do better if we would lift each other up, if we would help each other and not tear each other down. It's time for somebody to speak on this. It's time for somebody to make it understanding and make it known. You have to stop tearing other black folks down. We are not each other's enemy. We're in the same boat. We're compadres. We're brothers and sisters. And we need to work together and lift each other up. I don't spend my time tearing down brothers and sisters from the Caribbean, brothers and sisters from Africa, brothers and sisters in South Central America, brothers and sisters in Europe, brothers and sisters, because I know the hell they're catching. And we gotta stop giving each other hell. And here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we are going to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. Good people need to come together. Good Caribbean people, good African people, good people from South Central America, good black people from Europe. We need to come together and shut up the people who are damaging us physically, mentally, and socially, which is our own people. We have to talk about it. I don't allow African Americans to down black immigrants from the Caribbean, Africa, and Central South America, wherever they come from. And I'm not going to allow vice versa. I'm not going to allow people from other countries to tear down people here. I don't engage in that kind of conversation because it's disruptive. It's not critical, constructive criticism. It's critical destruction of our people. I'm sick of hearing about it. We need to work together. We need to find some common ground to come together. We need to have an international conference of black people coming together to discuss ways and means that we can get rid of this slave mentality of tearing each other down. I will not spend my time tearing no brothers and sisters down who immigrate to America. I don't spend my time talking to white people, because white people, they can be very treacherous. They'll tell me that the immigrants no good. They tell the immigrants I'm no good, and they create a divide amongst us. Time for us to wake up and smell the coffee and come together and love each other. That's biblical. Whether you're a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a Gentile, or even if you're atheist, common sense will tell you it's better for us to work together, help each other wherever we at. I don't think, and I have not been in a situation where anybody in the Caribbean needs help and African Americans didn't come to their rescue. I have not been in a situation when anybody in Africa needs help and African Americans turn their back on them. Anybody in Central South America, anybody in Haiti, anybody in Jamaica, anybody in Trinidad, anybody in Antigua and the Grenadines and St. Kitts, St. Croix, you name it, Nevis, you name it, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa. Look at the history over the years. African Americans have come to the needs of our people together. Yeah, there's some bad people. You come here and you end up living in the ghetto. You're going to find some ignorant people, drug addicts, alcoholics, but that's a small percentage. But the white man in America act like every African American is a drug addict, alcoholic, homeless, begging. I ain't never begged nobody. My mama ain't never begged nobody for nothing. My daddy ain't never begged nobody for nothing. Ain't nobody in my generation, great, 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 great grandfathers and grandmothers, never begged. Worked for theirs. Stood up on their feet and worked for theirs. So don't let no white man bring you in America and tell you that you better than us because we all that. Get to know me. I can't stand up and tell you that every African American is not going to be a crackhead, an alcoholic, homeless, delusional, mentally ill. I can't tell you that. But get to know me for me, because you Google my name, Ronnie L. Robinson, you will see that I have been supportive, politically, socially, and economically of my brothers and sisters in the Caribbean as well as Africa, I've been supportive, and I will continue to support the good people of the Caribbean and the good people of Africa, Central South America, Asia, Europe, wherever. I will continue to support and help. I have businesses right now in Africa, in India, in the Caribbean, helping my people develop and open jobs. I'm preparing to finance a school in Jamaica for children who are anxious to get educated, but the lack of finances is causing their family difficulties. I love people, and I love to help, and I will continue to help. But brothers and sisters, please, by the grace of God, let's learn to turn towards each other and not against each other. Let's come together. That's all I'm saying. For the sake of God, I'm just tired of hearing about this African-American. Africans don't like African-Americans. Caribbean people don't like African-Americans. Central South American blacks don't like African-Americans. And Asians don't like African-Americans. And all these, this is just a ploy to destroy us, divide and conquer. But we have to be smart enough to come together, fight together, and work together. I will not allow this behavior, this tyranny, this white man who creates this division, I will not let that influence my love for my people in the Caribbean, Africa, Asia, South or Central America, and all over. I will continue to do what God asks me to do, not what man say, what God asks me to do to help my people. I will continue to do it, and I will continue to talk about those who are trying to destroy us, and I will talk about the need for us to come together in love, agape love. Agape love means you're not looking for nothing. You just purely want to help somebody. And I said we should help each other, build each other up, work together. There's beautiful people in the Caribbean, wonderful people in Africa, wonderful people in Central South America. But we don't come together and talk and work together, we'll never know that. There are wonderful African-Americans here, wonderful people, good-hearted, would give their last dollar to help somebody, would take the shit off their back to help somebody. But if we do not learn to come together and overcome these circumstances, we will not be sufficient as a people. So I'm just saying, my brothers, my sisters, wherever you at, in the sound of my voice, Caribbean, Africa, Central South America, Asia, Europe, wherever you at, in the sound of my voice, know thyself, love thy God, and love God's people, and go forward. Thank you so much for listening to me. And like I said, I get my information now. Anybody want to call me, anybody want to discuss this, anybody want to talk about it, I'm willing and open. But we have to stop this nonsense. This is like children in the park, in the playground, arguing and fighting for nothing. We're grown people. We have to stop it. It's not. We all love Jesus. We all love Allah. We all love Yahweh. We all love some kind of God. But we're not acting like it. Your behavior is not a reflection of who you say you are in the religious sector. So I'm saying to us, come together, work together, love each other. Thank you so much. The other thing is the Black Business Billionaires Network Club was always talking about investing in business and getting business opportunity financially. And we had opportunity to research and look for businesses, and we had an opportunity to invest $1,000 into a business. And Mr. Terrence Ruffin, who's working in the area of funeral homes and grave digging and creating caskets and manufacturing and assisting tremendously in the district where he's covering. He's doing a tremendous job. He's been evaluated. He's been looked over by the group, and he's won. Let's give him a nice hand to Mr. Terrence Ruffin. Oh, let's give him a nice hand right here. The decision was made that Terrence Ruffin and his company he would have the ability to receive $40,000 investment from the Black Business Business Network Club, from the African American Independence Day, from the business associations that are connected with us internationally, and all the businesses. And he has won this opportunity to get this investment of $40,000. I keep telling y'all, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club is serious. We're serious about what we're doing. And if you come on the radio program and you're consistent, and Brother Terrence is consistent, he come on the radio program and he's consistent and he's helping and he's giving information. And so with all the things said and done, and the fact that his business is real, it has great potential, it can give many jobs to other minority people, Black people, if you will, and it's a great opportunity that we present him with this investment of $40,000. I want to give a nice hand to Mr. Terrence Ruffin. I want him to come on and tell a little bit about himself and his business and what he's doing. Man, let's welcome him to the studio. Brother Terrence, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I am here.
Yes, I am here. With your dedication, the years of experience that you have, the work that you're doing, the fact that you can develop opportunities in the Black community for other people in your district there, in your area of Alabama, and the opportunity to explore many opportunities in the same industry that you're in and develop opportunities in other places for employment, because your business has the potential to expand outside of Alabama to other states as well. It can, like if you will, I'm just going to put a prime example, it can sort of franchise itself out. But I want to let you know that the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, the African American Independence Day, all our affiliate businesses, all our associates, got together and decided that we will invest $40,000 in your business, and we'll go forward and get everything done as of Monday, and you know that you can develop enough business. Tell us a little bit about your business and about yourself, and you know what you do, how you got started, where you at now, things of that sort.
Okay. First of all, I just like to say thank you. And I'm just excited to hear what are you saying. I got to take it all in right now and just soak it in. But I just thank you. And a little about myself, I have been an entrepreneur, I guess, ever since I was big enough to be an entrepreneur. I got started when I came out of college as a electronic engineer technician for a company, and how I got my start was through electronic repair back in the early 90s. About 91, I started my business up in electronic repair. And as y'all all know, the NAFTA agreement came through with Bill Clinton at the helm of the United States. They passed that NAFTA agreement, and that kind of put me out of business on repairs on TVs, because the TVs started getting made in Mexico and cross seas, and they was bringing them back to the United States about as cheap as a repairman can make the repair. So that kind of put me out. But before I went out in 1997, I got started in my community as a grave digger. I live in rural Alabama, about 100 miles north of Mobile, and about 100 miles southwest of Tuscaloosa, Roll Tides, if y'all know, familiar with that, University of Alabama. And so I got started. I heard the cry in the community that not being able to get people to, you know, to dig graves anymore. And the older people, the older generation was still doing it with picks and shovels, the old school. And this is in 1997. Technology is abound. But the tradition still held to digging them with picks and shovels. So God enlightened me. I was sitting in a church business meeting, and the older fellow, what would dug the graves for our community and church, said he was old and he couldn't get help and he just couldn't do it no more. So the church voted to put the grave digging for your loved ones back in the hands of the families. And so I was looking around and heard all that, and I was saying, man, this is 97. I know, hey, people, you know, I'm going to put it like I said it. I know white people ain't still out here digging graves with picks and shells, but there got to be a better way. And so that moment, I, like epiphany, God opened up my mind, and I got to looking around. And I went and saw how the white cemetery and white people were doing it, and people with money, I just put it like that. And they was doing it with a little machine, no bigger than a ride lawnmower, front end load tobacco. I said, that's the ticket. I will buy one of those. I'll invest in that. And I done so. And that was the beginning of my other adventure. And so I invested in that machine, and I started digging all the graves in the county, not just for that one church, but I opened it up and revolutionized the way we do business in our little small rural area. And when I bought the little machine, I carried it to the funeral homes and told them I dig all the graves y'all want, plus it's an insurance deductible service. Just like you need a casket, just like you need the hearse, you need a grave digger. And so I took it upon myself and invested in equipment, and I begun the journey of opening and closing graves. That was my initial window into that area, industrial area. And then that one thing led to another, and after a couple of years of digging graves, and then I got associated with some of the vault companies that put the cement concrete liner in the ground that protects the casket. And I got into that. I started buying vaults and started setting vaults. And then after setting vaults for a few years, I turned around and started looking at how to make the vaults. So I opened up, some concrete precast forms, and I bought some of those. And I began to manufacture and make my own vaults. And as we progressed on, I used to have to call the concrete man. It might come, it might not come. And I invested in me my own concrete mixer. So I have much as I could do in-house, I decided I would do it. And so one thing led to another. We always heard the saying that if we take one or two steps, God will take three or four for us. And that's my story. God been with me all the way. And we went out and did our thing and tried to make it happen. So today we stand as a Ruffin & Sons Services Vault Company. One call, do it all. We open and close the grave. We bring the vault out and do all the cemetery work around here in our area. Now I serve about three or four counties and two states, because I live about 10 miles out of the Mississippi line. So I cross over into Mississippi and open and close and grave. And I also manufacture and deliver vaults to other vault companies that don't manufacture, and I supply them with theirs. So I appreciate the Black Business Bureau. I ain't got the name down quite in my head yet, but the Black Business Association.
I know it's hard sometimes for me to even say it. It's the Black Business Billionaires Network Club and the African American Independence Day. All the associates and all the business people that put all these funds together decided that your business has a great potential, and what you're doing is extremely interesting and is extremely necessary. You know, the thing about it is that you're providing a necessity, and
right,
the opportunities there are great. And other people that are either in the funeral industry, funeral homes, people that are manufacturing different products for that particular service, people who are grave diggers as well as yourself, you know, see the potential in what you're doing, and the fact that we can employ and we can train people in our community going forward. And so these things that have been evaluated in terms of the litmus test of businesses to invest in, you hit all of them 100% in terms of every part of it. You know, there's some people can't hit 100%, but you hit 100% of what we're looking for in terms of getting businesses and getting developed. People, I've said this many times to people, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we have people come on here, and a lot of y'all know them, billionaires and millionaires, Darcy Cook. Y'all can go ahead and Google her name, Darcy Cook, the Amateur Millionaire BET show. This sister have made thousands of black people in America millionaires. Dr. Herbert Harris is a self-made educated attorney from North Carolina, and he's also an engineer, and he went out of the university, out of the lower profession, and started his own business and made himself millions, and he turned around and got other young brothers and sisters and helped them to make millions. So we have people who come on this show. We have associates and people who are interested in developing black business. I've said it so many times, and people don't come on the show. People don't take it seriously. When I say something, I'm going to move forward, and I want, because I know time, I'm 73, time is going so fast. And if we don't, the Bible says, think not for yesterday because it's gone. Think not for tomorrow because it ain't here. But do what you can do right now. Right now, I can get other brothers and sisters who made millions of dollars in business, billionaires, people that I've been business with over the course of years, and get them to come together and to invest in our brothers and sisters, such as Terrence Ruffin and what he's doing, and get things going. So we got to come together. But what I love about Terrence, and I said this to the associates that was making the evaluation, is that he is steadfast, unremovable, and ever abounding from the word of the Creator. And so, you know, it's abundance of things that this money goes, you know, there's abundance of, just not your business is so successful, it's your personality, where you act mentally, in terms of us coming together as people. We've got to invest in opportunities and companies that's going to develop our community. We got to stop throwing our money. They say throwing good money after bad money. We got to stop throwing our money out there for all these different companies, all these different Chinese and this and all these people. Not give back to the African American community, and we're losing. We have $2.9 trillion to the GDP every year. And there's a Mexican or Puerto Rican, whatever he is, comedian, has the nerve to come on national television, NBC, and say that the Hispanics built America. They're the one giving $2.9 trillion to the GDP. He just talking nonsense and taking over everything. And that don't make no sense. And I'm not trying to tell nobody that I'm better than them or anything like that. But what it is, what you get. And if you don't stand up and talk to people, African American people don't stand up and say who they are and what they are. We did. We allow people to trash us, to come over us. We would end up nowhere. I don't get into battling with people over statistics and facts, because history is history. You can't change something that's already there. I don't get in any kind of argument. There ain't nothing to argue about. I've been through this. I lived through conflict. I lived through segregation. I know what it is. So ain't nobody can tell me nothing. But I'm not mad at people. I'm not mad at white people. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm mad at anybody who stopped me from going forward when I know that God has given me the right, the innate right, to be successful wherever I'm at. Man, you got to tell me I'm less than, I'm not you, I'm not this, I'm not that. No. You're not going to step on me. So you step on me, you're stepping on my mom, you're stepping on my dad and my great-grandparents, you're stepping on my children, you're stepping on everything that I love. And I'm not going to allow it. And I'm saying we as a people got to stop destroying each other. We got to stand up for that which is right. God will back you up as long as you're right. You stand up for that which is right. God got your back. Yeah, I'm not saying it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be tough. I get hate mail all the time. It's going to kill me, all this crazy talk. People come on the radio and say, shit the hell up, man. Y'all been getting up before they come on. I'm not scared of nobody. I'm like Dr. King. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I do not fear man. I fear God. And if you can take my life that bad, go ahead and do that to me. I'm moving forward. I'm so happy to help, to work with, to develop, to assist, to other parents, to Ruffin, what he's doing, and going forward with others as well. God, thank you, brother, and we'll get together with the certain details to get this done for you, my friend.
Okay, I would just like to say thank you one more time, and I just like to also say, Doc, you're dead on point when you say that we got to stop bashing each other. The trick of the devil have always been divide and conquer. And if we all know and heard how the devil operate through kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. And go out and rename all us a different name. A black man born in Africa is a black man. A black man born in America is a black man. A black man born in Jamaica is a black man. We got to come together and realize that we all black and we suffer the same fate. Slavery and all kinds of atrocities have happened to black people all over the world, not just in the United States, but all over the world. They treat us the same. They doing Africa right now the same way. They got us over there fighting and killing one another instead of coming together and put our eyes on our true enemies, our true enemy. And the white man and religion will teach us love everybody love, but they ain't loving us. I mean, we don't have that hate in our heart toward other races. Only time we going to have all that hate toward each other. And a house divided will not stand. And I thank you, Doctor. Thank you. And we'll talk later, and I'll close out. I'm long-winded, but I'll be quiet.
So we hope you stay on for the rest of the show if you can. And God bless you, and God bless all your family, and you know, your offspring. You know that in Deuteronomy 28 chapter says that your loin is blessed, your fields is blessed, your herd and your cattle is blessed, and your family is blessed. So we just ask blessings upon you and your family as you go forward doing the things that you're doing by the grace of God.
Thank you. By the grace of God.
Yes. Yes. We're going to open up the mics and give everybody an opportunity to discuss anything you want to discuss. If you want to continue to talk about things that we're talking about, we'll be happy to hear you. We're going to open up 469-512.
Hey, can you hear me?
469-512. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Terrence Robinson from Smoothtown Entertainment. I first want to thank Brother Ron for having me on. And
thank you,
Brother Don Jr., CEO, for bringing me on. And I was listening to the conversation, and I agree with everything that was going on in the conversation because everything you said was right and exact. And I think that more people should be more united, and we all should try to uplift each other and help each other out to the best of our ability, because without unity, we have nothing. So,
amen.
That's all I wanted to say.
Great, great, great. And also, you know, Terrence has a great business entertainment field for many, many years, doing many, many things, and your company is doing it as well. For financing and investment opportunities, and we shall also get with you in terms of that and how that looks and what we're going to do in terms of helping you and your business as well.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it is what I'm trying to do with my business is actually empower young black youth and teach them in the ways of technology and branding and marketing, because I am the only black-owned AI-infused marketing agency in Texas at the moment. And I want to take this company worldwide because I want to teach the young black youth and adults as well that are interested in learning more about AI technology and how it works and how it can benefit more than people who think that AI is going to take over the world. AI has been here for as long as we've been born. It's just now open to the public and it's more accessible to the public where it can be used as a tool. So if you embrace it and learn to use it, then you have no fear of it, because AI cannot rule the world, because without man, the technology doesn't exist.
Great, great. So definitely we're looking to the group coming together and evaluating your company as well, and seeing in terms of financial investment of what can be done in that area. You insist what you're doing because you've been in business a long time. And we all know that one of the popular industries where people can come from nothing and nowhere and end up somewhere and somebody making a tremendous amount of opportunity. It's entertainment. One of the largest money-making industries that make millionaires and billionaires overnight is the entertainment industry. And we've been doing this, African-American people, been doing this entertainment America for years. We've practically built it from every aspect of it. If you're talking about opera, and the greatest opera was done by African Americans who got international fame, left America and learned. Marian Anderson, the great opera singer, she went to Italy, went to Germany, and they told her she could not perform unless she had full control of German and Italian and French as well. And she studied these languages, and she mastered them within a year. Three major languages. If you think I'm lying, just Google her name and her history. Three major languages, and became one of the most popular international opera figures in her time and going forward. There's nobody that ever took Marian Anderson's position as one of the greatest opera singers, opera performers in the world. And so, and this has been going on for years. Every aspect of Entertainment America was done by African Americans. We designed everything from country western, rock and roll. You know, they took rock and roll and made it there. They took country western and made it there. They took other music and made it there, the opera and different things. But if you study well, you'll find African Americans in every aspect of development in this country called America. And one of the major industries is entertainment. That built a lot of wealth for America and people in the entertainment industry. And so we want to continue to study and understand who you are and where you are. A lot of people don't study, so they have a misconception about who is the force behind different aspects of industries, and they get confused. And so I said you need to study and understand where you're at and what's going on, and make sure you're able to work, to work and understand. I only succeed in this country because I, understanding where I'm at, what the conditions I'm dealing with, and understanding the industry that I'm in. I'm a retired psychologist, went into the entertainment business in my bag, and construction, and just supermarkets and different business, landlord on the property and et cetera, and all this stuff. And I was young, 18 years old, and things had to be learned and understand. But, if you want something bad enough, you'll study and understand it and go forward. There's a lot of opportunities here now. And certain industries are very still great opportunities for certain industries, and we as a people should potentially take advantage of both industries, the music industry and the entertainment. And so Brother Ken Robinson, we're looking at your business as well. And have you on and have you give your investment and also give you your background next week as well. So moving forward, people, I said at the time, you know, people don't take the black on this because we're going to be a billionaire. Yes, billionaires have came on this show. I call their names out. Dorothy Cook, go Google her name. She had BET, the amateur millionaire. She made thousands of African Americans, millions of dollars. You know, Herbert Hammond, all the wrong stuff. Technical problem there. But if you want to be successful and you want to be a part of what's happening here, we at the Black Business Billionaire Network Club, I've been doing this for 50 years. I'm not saying investing in anything and everything. There were the particular businesses and industries that I was invested in back in the day, but we're here. We're clear that we are going to support black businesses. I'm serious about this. I'm serious about supporting Brother Terrence and what he's doing. And by the grace of God, we'll have him on next week telling his story and getting his funds as well. And the Black Business Business Network Club, we're going forward. We're going forward. And all y'all who doubt, all y'all that want to join, all y'all want to support, all y'all want to come in. And like I said, everybody that came on this radio program have been millionaires and billionaires. And they either are or ain't or whatever. But they're big, you know, because people don't want you to know their business, and I'm not the one to tell it. But I just said to you, I know Dorothy Cook is a millionaire maker. She had the best program on BET until they sold out to the Chinese, and her program was Amateur Millionaire, and she was going around the country meeting African-American people at their businesses and turning them around to multi-million-dollar operations. Now, this is documented on television. Herbert Harris is a self-made millionaire. He's a self-made and self-educated attorney. He is an engineer. And he turned around, got out of his industries, and decided to help black folk go forward and help them make some money and help them develop millionaires. And so we have millionaires on this show before. We have billionaires on this show before. We have Barry Braxton, Tony Braxton's cousin. We had him on. He got Braxton Financial Management. He's been doing and making money and investing in black businesses as well, and getting them loans and et cetera. You know what I'm saying? We have Herb Harris. I'm talking about Herb Clemens, who came on, who's an economic developer, who's a financier, bar none, international. His brother's international finance consultant. And I know him. I know Herb for like 38 years. And so I've been blessed to be around people and working with people who are serious about developing opportunities for our people. And I'm not being selfish. I'm not being racist. I'm not being biased. I'm not being, you know, one-sided. I'm being smart because African-Americans have done too much for this country to end up in the conditions that are not worthy of a good opponent or a person who have contributed to the development of this country. And we contribute. Without us, there will be no America. If we leave tomorrow, if we stop spending a dime tomorrow, America will flip upside down. Amen. That's real talk. So we got to take that into consideration. I'm just tired of our young brothers and sisters. It hurts my heart just to hear about young brothers and sisters getting shot over water. Young brother ran out the store. The man said he took some water and killed a 15-year-old boy over water. It's racism. Because in Florida, he knows stand your ground. He ain't going to go to jail. Woman shoots, takes the little boy's laptop into her home, steal it from him, he goes tell his mother. His mother goes to confront her to get back what belongs to her son, what she paid for, laptops and computers. They're not cheap. And she threw something at the boy and hit him in the head. So his mama had the right to go to her and find out what's going on in Florida again. And the woman shoots her through the door and kills her while she's holding the hand of her 9-year-old son. Can you imagine the devastation of that child right now? And the little boy playing in Ohio in front of his own home. And the crazy white man gets out and shoot him and say he's standing his ground. He's in front of this kid's house, and cops do nothing. They do nothing because why? They don't consider you and I as any value. But if we don't consider ourselves valuable, nobody's going to consider ourselves valuable. Brothers and sisters, this nonsense has to stop. It is hurting us as a people. It's hurting us as a country. It's hurting us all the way around. It's evil, it's bad, and it's not helping nobody. We got to stop this nonsense and this craziness. We got to save our children from this nonsense. We got to save our society. If you don't do it for yourself, ain't nobody going to do it for you. So, brothers and sisters, let's step up. Let's help people that are helping our people. Let's help businesses. Let's support businesses. It might be a little more extra money in a black business, but if you got it, go there and support that business. Get a little extra dollar and build a black business. They might not be as nice and charming as you want them to be, but sometimes you gotta put up for the bad for the good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have to figure out a way to come together and change some of this nonsense and go forward. Move forward. You know, it's just the way the situation is. But brothers, if we look forward to going forward, we're gonna open up some more mics. Brother Terrence Robinson, thank you so much as well for what you're doing. And we look forward to also talking with you and funding some things that you're involved in.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay,
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you too as well. We're going to open the mic of 929-586. 929-586, your mic is open.
Yeah, thanks. My brothers and sisters, and everybody, all the melanated people around the world. We're at a point that this Congress may say that we have no rights, civil rights. Amendment that's being voted on today, has been voting on today. I don't know what the results are. All the people and Dr. Robinson knows how I feel. All these people who now, even though they're Afro-Hispanic or Latina, and, you know, and other people, gay and what have you, if the vote comes back on a negative trial, all these people that have not loved us, liked us, didn't want to admit that they were black or anything else like that, okay, this is going to fall. And you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, everybody wants to be black. I've been in and out of this for years, you know, for 40 years or better. And people who look like us don't want to be like us because they can't get the jobs. They won't be on the, get to work and stuff like that, you know, and they deny that they're Afro-Latino or African-Indian or, you know, what have you, but they don't want to be anything associated with us. Well, if the vote comes back negative, where are you going to go? We have been here for a long time. We have fought for a long time. Just to get respect. And sit under a situation where leave us alone, give us land, do whatever we want to do so that we can be independent. This may be ungodly or wrong, depends on how you look at it. If you didn't like us before, I don't care if you like us now. I'm tired. You know, and African-American people pull all people into themselves. Love everybody. Trying to help everybody. White, black, and so on. So we have to be careful who we trust and know and be involved with. You know, okay, and as Muhammad Ali had said one time, you got all these people that hate you. You know, we got one good friend, and I love this friend. And we're going into a mountain that we built, and we built a city under the mountain. We got one good friend, but we have all these bad people or all these snakes that wants to come in this mountain. If I let my good friend, my best friend, the friend I love in, how do I know that there's not snakes coming in at the same time? You may not like it, but that's what I think. All right, because we live through this too much. We supported everybody. And when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, nobody supports us. That's all I got to say.
Thank you so much for your words of wisdom.
And I love everybody. I love everybody. I love my people. I love my black people. But we got to love each other first.
That's spoken so well. Words of wisdom, people. With age comes a lot of wisdom and understanding because you've been through stuff. You know, after you get a certain age and you done been through, different things, you learn. You learn from your mistakes. You learn from your things that you benefit from, And so we want everyone to realize that you must listen to the elders because they know what's happening. They know what's going on, and they're working towards the betterment of our society, So there's a lot of work ahead, and we need everybody on board. We need everybody to come together. We need a society of black men and women who's standing up. And who look like they're trying to do something positive, look like they're trying to make changes in this government, in this situation. And we want you to continue to work hard. We want you to continue to seek hard. We want to continue to develop businesses in our community that support our community. We want to continue to expedite things that we need done, And so it's so important that we listen to the elders. It's so important that the elders come forward with their experiences. It's so important that everybody tell your experience, tell your story. You know, tell what's happening to you and how you got from A to Z and how you got from where you're going and where you've been and where you're at right now. You know, that's the only way people can learn and follow, you know, is that we learn.
I am for Black Americans first. And when we say that, you know, people get upset. Oh, what about so-and-so? What? I don't care about so-and-so. Once we get our act together and we're secure in that act, then we can, as I said, study to show ourselves approved. Then we can deal with anybody else. But out of my 74 years, I was angry at my father because he said he'd, and please, don't take this as for hate, because I don't hate anybody. I want to survive. My nieces, my great-great nieces and nephews and stuff like that, to survive and not be stupid and take everybody in. You know, people that my father didn't like or understand. If you go back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, you can see that. You know? And I know we're in 2023 and things have changed. And, no, honestly, nothing really changed. When your man is put up against the wall or behind in a corner, you don't know what they'll do. You don't. And I'm sure that everybody is thinking the same thing about us. Especially white people, you know, especially Hispanic people, especially Greek people, Italian people, you know, and so on. I'm not playing no games. But me and my people first, and then everything after that, we can help. We've always been helping. You know, but when we've been helping, we've been denied and called all kinds of names and so on. I don't want to go through this again and be put in the same situation and have this white supremacist attitude in our DNA, even among us, and the DNA that helps destroy us. And at the end of everything, I know Yeshua. And we, if we come to peace and understanding, I know Yeshua will overrule. And it will be under the black man that happens. And whoever moves or wanes or, you know, whatever, they'll fall aside. Because we're not going to get all. And if we don't get all, fine. If I'm the one that's not in the all pattern, I won't get it either. This is important. Give thanks. Sorry for taking up so much time.
No, that was great. That was great. That was information that people need to hear, people need to know about. And at this time, we're opening up all mics. anybody want to say something, you can, as you go forward. We're opening up mics now. And anybody want to say something in reference to what we just heard and what we need to do and talk about business and things of that sort? It's a matter of moving forward, people. It's a matter of it wouldn't be so crucial to me in terms of immediate need if young people were not dying, and people in general are dying, and dying unnecessarily, dying
right.
to drug addiction, dying to police brutality, dying of poverty, dying of mental and physical illnesses because they can't afford proper health care, dying of the lack of the ability to be able to provide for their wife and their kids and their families and take advantage. Some of these people went to university, got degrees and whatnot, and they can't go forward to take care of their families, and that's killing them. Dying of the lack of the ability to adhere to a financial conditioning that makes it possible for them to go forward. Somebody want to say something?
Yeah, this is Thomas Robinson from Smoothtown Entertainment. I think that first and foremost, in order for things to get better for our people, is that our people have to first accept self-love. They have to learn to love themselves and not so much stay in tune to what we have been taught and how we have been taught, because we've been taught wrong, because we've been taught through the European society. So once we started getting our great African-American educators and our African educators and, you know, people that were building black empowerment and bringing forth the education system to our people the way it is supposed to be, I think until everyone starts to accept the fact that we are the original great educators and we are the original Aboriginal people that actually were granted this planet, until we start to realize who we are, that we are the true kings and queens, and just because we don't have all of the jewels and all of the rings and cars and mansions to show for other people, I think that mentality is what's holding our people back, because everybody seems to feel when they get a little, they got to show that they have. And I think instead of people always trying to shine upon the next who don't have, I think what needs to happen is everybody needs to come together under one umbrella of understanding that everything we create should be for us. It should be for us to better our people, to better our communities, to better our educational system, so that we can guide our people in the right direction instead of letting them be led astray by all the false idolatries that they see on TV, such as the music videos and, you know, everybody feeling that gangbanging is the lifestyle. You know, it's not about that. It's not about being better than anyone. It's all about us uplifting each other to build communities. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, which is true, because that's how it was when I was coming up. Whenever I was doing something wrong, if a neighbor saw me or one of my mom's friends saw me or one of my dad's coworkers saw me acting a fool, they had permission to correct me, not to abuse me, but to correct me and to keep me from going in the wrong direction. And I think that's what's missing in today's society. The children of today, they have no manners, no respect, no ambitions, no goals outside of wanting to be rich and famous. And gangbangers, that's why they're killing each other off in the name of keeping it real, you know? And I think that's where our communities are falling apart. We don't have enough what we call OGs, you know, we don't have enough adults that's taking the time out to guide these people in the right direction. We're not guiding the youth the way we're supposed to. The youth are not respecting the elders as the way we used to coming up. And that is a big, big problem. Once the government decided that they were going to raise our children and allow them to have us locked up whenever we decided to give them correction, that was just a major power play to hold our people back in bondage, because now children are doing what they want to do. Parents are not even caring. They just letting them do what they want to do. Like in the Bible where it says it'll be fathers against sons and mothers against daughters. That is the society we are actually living in today. We are actually living that society today. And we have to learn to correct that and correct it quickly if we don't want our race to diminish. And that's just my point of view. That's my opinion. And I just felt a need to share that. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, we're living in a society, y'all, where people are not getting it. Like Ronald Lake said, a lot of people just don't get it. They don't. And it's unfortunate they're not willing to listen to those who get it. You know, the elders have experience, whether they went through a college or never been through a high school. They have life experiences. And life experiences will correct you in many ways. Because you're going to learn, and I tell my children, you're going to learn that you're going to have to do certain things the right way, because the correction is going to be conditional. You're going to need that correction. And we've all been there. My mom and dad told me many a thing before I left and went off to college. And I got out there and I did my thing. You know, I acted a fool. I was free. I was only 15 years old when I started college, and I went away to a university in the dormitories, and I just thought I was the man. And getting led by older kids, 18, 20, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, you know, and I thought they were God, you know, because they were older than I, and they had more experience than I had, and so I followed the crowd. And I made my mistakes, and I paid my dues, and I made the corrections that I needed to. And there's a point in your life when you're young, I tell young people all the time, there's a point in your life where you're going to follow every trend that exists. You're going to follow the popular kids. You're going to follow the popular girl, the beautiful girl, the popular guy, the jock, you know, good-looking guy, getting everything like he got everything in his palm of his hand. And you're going to follow these people because you want to be like them. And then you're going to make mistakes because everything glitter is not gold. And the grass is not greener on the other side. It looks that way. Some people are so good at something, they make it look easy. Michael Jordan was such a tremendous basketball player, but people don't know his beginnings. He was terrible when he was young. He was uncoordinated because most tall people are uncoordinated. Coordination between 6'7" and 7'2" is very difficult, the taller you are, to coordinate your legs with your arms and your head and your hips. And be smooth on your moves. It's very difficult for a tall person. And so he was very awkward as a young guy trying to play on junior varsity and play even in the ballparks, you know, trying to play with the other kids and never get selected to be on the team because he was terrible. But he kept working hard and practicing. That old saying, the young boy asked, how you get to Carnegie Hall? And the man said, practice, you know. And, you know, he practiced, and he made himself what he is today. But he make it look easy. But it wasn't easy. It was a lot of work that goes into it. And so some people do some things over a period of time, or they're able to conquer it in a small amount of time. And then you look at them, you say, wow, that looks simple. But it's not that simple. It takes time to master anything that people do, and people don't, the young people today, I'm not saying all of them, a lot of people today, young, old, and indifferent, do not want to put the time in. Very few people want to put time in that's necessary to master something. To become a master of something, you got to put time into that. But people who they become master, they become a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Right.
And that can put them in a very awkward position, you know. I mean, you know, you can chuck and jive to a certain extent, you know, what, but it has to be some kind of situation where you don't really have to put, you know, your particular skill to the task. And if you don't, you know, you're putting other people's skill to the task. An agent for entertainers and sports figures, they don't have to put their talent on the field or in the basketball court or in the movie industry. All they have to do is be able to talk well and represent. It's the quality of that person that they're representing that makes their job successful or easy. You know, it's that person that gets the Oscar and that gets the Grammy. You know, the person that gets the ring, championship rings and stuff. These guys that make themselves a household name in their industry. It's easy for an agent to present them and make tons of money and get them into all kinds of commercials and all kinds of contracts and whatnot because the person did the work. But somebody has to do the work. And so
exactly.
I'm saying if you're a sports agent, you don't have to have skills in the industry that you're representing people. Because people look at a sports agent or entertainment agent and say, oh, my God, look at him. He's getting all these jobs for the guy. No, the guy gets a job for himself because his quality of his character and the quality of his abilities and the quality of his skills got him the job. The agent just represents who the person is. It's like if you're a car salesman and you're selling a Chevy as opposed to selling a Rolls Royce. It's the quality of the product that you're selling that makes it bountiful for you financially. So these people are representing these tremendous stars over a period of time. And as you all well know, y'all know, you know, everybody knows that a lot of these agents get kicked out. They get fired, and people go on. And sometimes people within a 2-3-5 year span of their career could end up with 7-8 agents, you know, until they land on the right one. But I'm just saying that it's that person's skill and ability that sells that person to the industry, and it makes it very easy for an agent, broker, or whoever, when you're representing a high level client. A high-level product. If you are a real estate broker and you're selling million-dollar mansions, where people really want those mansions to get in there, or you're selling, you know, cul-de-sacs in some low-income area, you know, the two things are two different things. And it doesn't take a lot to sell a mansion, as it would to sell a cul-de-sac in a lower-income area. It's just the way it is. It's hard trying to sell people the concept of a Chevy Cavalier as opposed to a Mercedes-Benz S550 or a Rolls-Royce, you know, two different quality of product. So it's the quality of the person, the quality of the product, the quality of the service, the quality of what you do that make you valuable to whatever profession that you're involved in. You know, and I always tell, you know, that old saying that we say years ago when I was a kid, and I heard kids today say that they heard it from their parents or grandparents or whatever. If you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best. Be the best. I heard a young cat say one time he want to work, when he works, goes into his job, he makes sure that if they do decide to let him go, they're going to miss him. The quality of his work will make him missed, because once they get rid of him, they're not going to get the same production that they would get from others. And so you can curtail yourself to control your the devices that control you and control the destiny and control the roadmap and control the goals that you want to get into. You can do that, young man, young woman. And I would dare say that start young. People start young. Young kids, you know, start at pre-K and start in first grade getting good marks, being academically astute. Start young, because what you do at a younger age, what your children do at a younger age, it will follow them into high school, junior high school, primary school, you know, it will follow them into college and university and post-grad, undergrad, and all that other stuff. But if they start off good, they're going to end up good. You know what I'm saying? I was selling cars for General Motors years ago, and they told us if you start off with 5 cars at the beginning of the month, you'll end up with, you know, 25 cars. You know, so your beginning will offset your ending. And that's the same thing with life itself. And so what I'm saying, my brother, my sister, let's be the best individual that we can be in the professions that we represent and the things that we're doing. Let's move forward in a way that we can control the destiny in which we are going, and no one has to tell us one way or the other. So there are great stabilities, great things that we can do, great opportunities. And as I said, you know, we have to keep developing businesses that's going to be influential in our communities, economically, socially, politically, whatever. Businesses that will bring more opportunities and more people. If you have a business that's resolving an issue of society, you're going to have a successful business. But that's how business make money, resolving issues of society. And if you see any business that's really making a tremendous impact on the economy, a tremendous impact on the citizenry, a tremendous impact on the economics of the government and society, those are the businesses that are making millions and millions of dollars, because that's the way the system is developed. You know, it's nothing that I said or nothing that I created. It's the way it is. It is what it is. What you see is what you get. You can't change certain things, but you can change how you function under those things. And so, you know, Brother Terrence and gave us some good advice, Terrence Robinson and Ronald A. Robinson and Terrence Ruffin, and, you know, everybody was giving good advice. And, you know, I hope everybody here to that advice. Continue to come on the Black Business Business Network Club, because we are seeking to invest and develop more businesses that will be effective in our community. And, you know, we're looking to do an impact on our society. So here we are at the end of the hour, people, and I just say to be mindful, to praise your God for whatever he's done unto you, and be mindful to praise the brothers and sisters that have helped you as well, and help one another. Be mindful to help somebody that's in need, you know, and don't just walk over people because they are struggling. Walk towards them and try to help them. And with all that said, you know, come back next week as we continue to invest and divest and work in our communities to make it better if possible. God bless everybody. Have a good weekend. Take care.
Take care.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been?
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's got to get
better.
In your heart.
In your heart.
gotta get better.